The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great weekend. We love being here. It's another Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m., hanging out in the treetop studios of North Shore 104.9, overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station. And man, it's not that beautiful right now, but it's going to be beautiful. So hang tight, folks. All right. We got lots of things to talk about today, but I'm going to stick with one theme. I've never done this before, sticking with just one theme for an entire hour. We're going to mix up the theme, put variations of the theme. And honestly, I can say I'm going to stick with one theme, but I've been known, like many of you know, that I get off on a tangent. So I'm saying that with a, you know, just prefacing that, then my plan is to stick with one theme, but you never know where things will go. I'm going to talk about investment mistakes that people make. You know, I went to Professor Google and I asked Professor Google, Professor Google, show me some articles about mistakes that investors make. And I got about 1,600,342 different postings of investor mistakes. I printed three of them. And just these three that I've printed, and of course, our own experience in our office will certainly showcase enough mistakes that investors are making. And today, we're faced with an interesting situation. We are in what I would call the most comfortable market. No one seems all that panicked about anything. There's a measurement stick that measures investor stress and volatility. It's called the VIX, V-I-X. Sometimes you hear that that mentioned on CNBC. What that measures is the level of fear, anxiety that people have over the market. And right now it's hovering at one of its lowest possible levels. And that's interesting. When you think about all that's going on in the world, I mean, if you watch the news, you'd think this country's in a panic after Donald Trump has been elected. I mean, you watch the rallies, you watch the screams, you watch the writings, you watch the blogs, the postings, the social media. You'd think this country is crumbling. If you watch some of the news reports that happen in Europe, you'd think this country is under siege, that it's just going to crumble and turn to dust. We're just going to disappear and become among the weakest countries in all of the world. Folks, that's not going to happen. But it's interesting that finally, maybe, just maybe, we have grown a little insensitized to, or desensitized to, the media, to the noise, to what's out there. Because if you watch the news, you read the papers, you pick up a magazine, read a blog, you would think things are terrible. But we are living as investors in a market where we seem to be very, very comfortable. No one wants to make any dramatic changes. The market continues to go up, though this past month it's been pretty much a flat kind of ride. But there's no signs of danger on the horizon. And that, my friends, is when you should be getting scared. Just because things are going up shouldn't make us feel more and more comfortable. In fact, I'm rather uncomfortable. Because I think, in reality, we cannot continue to head in the pace we're going on. Just before the election, how comfortable were you with the direction that the stock market might go if Donald Trump was elected? Most people thought we are in deep doo-doo. We are in for significant change. We're in for lots of tough times ahead. Many people thought, though, what if Hillary Clinton won? And isn't it interesting? We really haven't heard her name in a lot of months, have we? I don't know where she's hanging out right now, but something tells me she's not having nearly as much fun as Barack Obama is having right now. He seems to be having the time of his life, laughing every day. But when we thought about Hillary Clinton, if she won the election, where was the market going to go? I think all we could say about where the market was going to go was it wasn't going to go in any wild direction one way or the other. I think it would be business as usual. Yeah, we'd have some bumps along the way, but it would be business as usual. Well, what's interesting is ever since Donald Trump's been elected, the market has grown more than 3,000 points. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up more than 3,000 points. And that's after the market's having a great 2016. The markets did really well. So why aren't we worried about a major pullback? And if we are realizing and thinking to ourselves there's going to be a major pullback, are we doing anything about it? Are we making any changes? Are we cashing in? Well, what I'm seeing right now is most people are staying pat. Honestly, that can oftentimes be the best thing to do. But there are mistakes that people make when markets are high, when markets get volatile, and markets will get volatile, folks. I'm not going to say that it's something stupid that our president says that will impact this market. It really won't. It might be a day shake on the market. You might get a little hiccup along the way. But the market's going to pull back dramatically because of one of a number of things. The number one reason, of course, is terrorism. If we have a terrorist attack on our soil, the markets are going to react. If North Korea starts acting up and creating problems for the world, I don't care whether it's just to their friends in South Korea or in China, or if it happens here, we are going to see corrections. If the Brexit pace doesn't work the way we had expected, if there are terrorist attacks elsewhere, if there's a lot of things that can happen, a lot of ifs. But I will tell you this, our country here in America, as a business, you think about all the companies that you're investing in, here in America, whether it's Procter & Gamble or IBM or Google or Facebook or Tesla or whatever it is that you're investing in, we're pretty solid. We got a lot of choices. We have good regulations where the government isn't just going to come in and take over your business because you're making too much money. People are making profits, and companies here in America have more cash than ever before. Now, what would happen if they took that cash and actually invested it, invested in people, invested in equipment, invested in the future dynamics of their company? There could be a lot of good things that could happen. So I don't want you to worry that we've reached this top part of the market and it can't go any higher. Folks, it can go higher. It will go higher. It absolutely will go higher. But that's not to say that there won't be bumps along the way. I just think we need to be vigilant. We need to be careful. But what we need to be even more careful about are some of the unscrupulous, though well-meaning, salespeople that are out there offering you some of the new hyped-up products that are out there. Because when things get boring, when, you know, stock market just starts to go in one way or the direction, you start to hear from salespeople who've got a new product, a new line, a new idea to share with you. They've been referred to oftentimes as alternative investments, something different from the stock and bond market. Maybe it's an investment in gold. Maybe it's in commodities. Maybe it's in real estate. Maybe it's annuities. Folks, what annuities were years ago, and many annuities were very sound and smart investments years ago. Some of these annuities that are coming out, they are some of the most complicated products to incorporate into your portfolio. In many cases, or in some cases, I should say, they make a lot of sense. But I've been meeting a lot of people over the past week who have bought annuities with a surprised education after they've already bought it. Imagine this. Imagine someone tells you, and you've probably heard these stories, you can buy an annuity and we'll give you a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. Guaranteed income. Now, I'm not talking about giving the money over to an insurance company where they're going to pay you a check for the rest of your life and that's all. But you give them, let's say, $200,000, and they say, we will pay you 4.5% on your money. And we will pay that guaranteed to you, 4.5%, for the rest of your combined lives. And whatever is left over of the account, when all is said and done, you get to keep it. Pretty cool, right? Well, I've run into a few people lately who have been buying these annuities or being sold these annuities. They don't go seeking for these things. They have been sold these annuities where they were told, here's $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. I'll pay you 4% a year guaranteed forever. So they know if, let's say, it's $500,000 times 4%, that's $20,000 a year. You're going to get that. And then the person says, well, this year I'd like to grab 40 rather than 20. Or this year I'd like to grab an extra $30,000 here. And for whatever reason, they seem to think that they can continue to draw the $20,000 on an ongoing basis and be able to have access to all of this money without running out of money. Well, that's what the insurance guys told me. He told me that I can do this. You have to be careful. It's mistakes people are making. Folks, if something sounds too good to be true, it really is too good to be true. The amount of money that gets made on these investments by the salespeople is, I guess it's fair within the industry. I don't want to say that it's a bad investment, but I do think you're entitled to know and to ask that salesperson, hey, how much are you making on this? And unfortunately, don't believe it. Ask to see the prospectus. Ask to see what the selling agreement looks like that says, here's what you're really getting. Because oftentimes, let's say you buy a $500,000 annuity and the commission is 5%, but you don't have to, they say, oh, you don't worry about a commission. You just have the surrender charge. If you don't get out of the annuity for 7 or 10 years, no worry about it at all. No fees. So the commission might be 5% or $20,000 for you to sign on that application. But oftentimes the advisor might say, well, my commission is $5,000 on that. And you might think, okay, $5,000 times $500,000, that's 1%. That's probably fair. But if they're working for a large company, the company is making $20,000. They're charging you $20,000. They're only paying the advisor five of it, and they're keeping the rest. So be sure that you know what you're buying. That's one of the first major mistakes that investors make, is trusting too much in the salesperson and finding out that what they bought doesn't necessarily deliver what was promised to them. Well, I shouldn't say that. What was promised to them by the insurance salesperson or whomever that person might have been might be offered. But what you didn't do was you didn't ask, what are some of the risks? What are some of the downfalls? What could happen? What are the whatever situations? That's dangerous. You want to know what's dangerous as well about investing? You want to know what's scary? You want to know what keeps a lot of people up at night? You want to know what worries them each and every night before they go to bed about investments? About, oh my God, can I do this? Can I do this? Am I making a mistake? You want to know? Well, hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, where we're here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. You know, I'm very excited about this. We have recently trademarked that statement, financial advice in a language you can understand. We now own it. We got it. We're going to continue to press along and use that statement wherever we can, because that's really what this show, Dollars and Cents, is all about, providing you financial advice in a language you can understand. We currently live in a world where there's a lot of investment people out there, a lot of financial planners out there, a lot of financial professionals, advisors, agents, whatever you want to call them. And oftentimes they talk down to you. They can be condescending. They can talk in a language that is far over your head, and you just kind of spin your head and go, okay, where do I sign? Sometimes you just want to sign something just to shut them up. I know. Maybe you want to do that with me. Maybe Maybe you're thinking the same thing when you listen to me. But honestly, at our office, at Friedman Financial, one of the things that our clients tell us over and over and over again is that when they visit us in our office, it feels like home. I can tell from the look in your eyes whether you're getting what I'm saying. And if I don't feel like you got it, I'm going to step back a little bit and say, you know, let me be sure you understand what you're doing here or understand this situation. And it might not be about an investment. It might be about a pension decision you have to make or Social Security. You see, a financial planner looks at all of those pieces. It's not just about the investment. The investment is one slice. One of the most major decisions that you will make in your life is deciding when to take Social Security. There's lots of information. It's amazing to me. The decision has been there for since 1935 when to take it. But all of a sudden, this year or the past couple of years, there's been all sorts of booklets on helping you try to make the most informed decision. Why is that? Why do you think all of a sudden it's appearing? Maybe it's because more and more baby boomers are reaching that year of to be eligible for Social Security. There's a lot of people in a decade before that made miserable mistakes because they simply didn't know the rules. There were others, of course, that did know the rules and took advantage of the system. And that's why some of the benefits that there used to be that existed in Social Security have been removed, too. Do you know all that stuff? Do you know all the rules? Do you want to know more about the rules? Do you want to make sure that you're making an informed decision? Well, let me offer you this. I've offered this in a few radio shows already. I have a booklet at my office that is the most comprehensive, it's only about 16 pages though, booklet on understanding Social Security. And it's not written by the Social Security Administration. It's actually written by MFS Investments, of all places, one of the mutual fund companies. They put together this booklet that I hand out to people at my offices all the time because it provides great, easy to understand information in helping you try to make a decision as to when to take Social Security, but also understand the rules, for instance, that exist for teachers. If you're a teacher, you're saying to yourself, well, I don't get Social Security. I'm miserable. And, you know, Massachusetts doesn't give that to me. Everyone ticked off about that. Well, I'd be ticked off about it, too, to tell you the truth. But there are certain things we can control and certain things we can't control. But at least you can understand what it means and what you may or may not be eligible for through the programs that are available through Social Security. So if you'd like the booklet, I'm going to make it available to you for free. My assistant Jody will email it to you. That's right. She's just going to send it off. It's a PDF. I mean, if you want the hard copy of the book, swing by my office if you'd like, but I will email it to you. All you need to do is send an email to Jody, J-O-D-I, J-O-D-I, at FriedmanFinancial.com. Jody is my assistant. She's my director of first impressions. She is the person that gets involved in everything in my office. We love having Jody there. It's J-O-D-I at FriedmanFinancial.com. Just send her a quick email. Say, hey, could you send me the Social Security booklet? Jody will get it off to you on Monday. So what we're doing here today is we're talking about investment mistakes, mistakes that investors make all the time. And I got, you know, try Googling it. I mean, you'll find 1,000 different mistakes that investors make. But it generally trickles down to, I don't know, 5 or 10 common ones. So here's one that I see that people make all the time. Going with the herd. You hear about a friend, a neighbor, a colleague that bought this investment. And a friend of yours says, hey, I bought this investment. It's up 18% this year. You should get into it. Well, why would I want to get into an investment that's already up 18% for the year? Huh? Why would I want to do that? But nevertheless, people go, well, you know, if I made 18% last year, let me annualize that or multiply it times 5. Think about how much money I'd have. Folks, investments go up, investments go down. There is no investment out there that averages 18% a year ad infinitum. You're not going to find that. And you're certainly not going to find it if you're the second person to buy it or the ninth person or the 10th generation person to buy it. You look at the best investors in the world. Warren Buffett being one of them. Do you know what his average rate of return is on an ongoing basis? This is Warren Buffett, considered the Oracle of Omaha, the smartest investor in the world. Do you know what he averages a year? Has averaged since his inception. I don't know if it's every year now, but since inception, 15%. So if Warren does 15% with the billions, maybe trillion dollars that he has at his disposal to try to select the right investments, how do you imagine that you're going to do anything close to that? Your expected rate of return on a portfolio should be between 5 and 7%. That's if you want to have what I would call a moderately based portfolio. And if you're approaching retirement, you probably want to have maybe 60% in the stock market, 40% in income producing investments like bonds. You should expect between 5 and 7 over the long term. It's funny, there was a story that came out recently about 401ks. And it was in, I'm trying to find the right story here that might have been here. It appeared, I think it was in like Market Watch or something like that, that talked about the fact that it says here, after the new year, I checked my 401k and saw that I earned 4% in 2016. 4%. But the Dow Jones Industrial closed up 13.4%. The S&P was up 9.5%, and the NASDAQ finished up 7.5%. Why am I losing money in my 401k plan? Folks, you're not losing money in your 401k plan. In fact, you actually are guaranteed to make money. Yes, I said the word guaranteed. You could be guaranteed to make money in your 401k plan. Do you know how you do that? If you invest, let's say you wanted to put in $100 a week. If you chose not to put $100 a week into your 401k plan, you'd have probably 25% of that $100 taken out in taxes, and you'd net $75. But if you put $100 into your 401k, all $100 gets invested, doesn't it? So you just guaranteed yourself a savings of maybe $20 or $25, depending on your tax bracket. On top of that, what if your employer matches? What if they give you 1, 2, 3, 4%? That's free money too. That's guaranteed return on your money. But here's the reason that 401k investors in a rising market tend to do way worse than the indexes do. Let's say you had $100,000 in your 401k at the beginning of the year. And at the end of the year, your 401k is worth $120,000. You might think to yourself, well, it's $100,000. Now it's worth $120,000. I just made 20% on my investment. But did you? Chances are you did not. Because over the course of that year, did you add money to your 401k? Maybe you put $10,000 in. Maybe your employer matched a couple percentage points. So maybe it was $13,000 or $14,000 that was actually deposited into your 401k plan. So did your account really grow from $100,000 to $120,000? Not really. Because you put in $10,000, that makes it $110,000. Your employer gives you a little bit of a match that maybe takes that up to $112,000. You made $8,000, not $20,000. Remember, when you're looking at performance, when you hear performance of the S&P 500, performance of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, performance of the NASDAQ, they're giving you performance based upon what the value was at the beginning of the year, what the value was at the end of the year, without any deposits, any money going in, any money coming out. It's a flat, simple rate of return that goes from point A to point B. Every time you invest in your 401k, every week, every month, every biweekly, whatever it is, you're changing the parameters of trying to calculate performance. I will tell you this, one of my best pieces of advice I can give you, if you're investing in your 401k plan right now, pray for the market to go down. What? Yeah, pray for the market to go down. The best thing that could happen, that is, well, unless you're approaching retirement in a year or two. But if you're, let's say, 45, 50 years old, if you could see the market go down for 2 or 3 years and you could be buying into your investments and buying more shares than what you could buy before, and then the market turns around, man, you are a hero, an absolute hero. That's why the people who stuck with it in 2008 and 2009 saw such great performance. Did you bail out in 2008 and 2009? Did you bail out before our new president was elected? I bet you're kicking yourself now if you did, because you know cash doesn't pay anything. Banks aren't offering much in the way of interest. And just because interest rates are going up, and yeah, they went up 0.25%, you're not going to see much of a change in your CD rate. CD rates are not going from 1% to 5% anytime soon, maybe not even in your lifetime. So you have to be a participant. You have to understand the flow of risk. Now, one of the big mistakes that people make when they say, okay, well, I want to take a little bit of extra risk, you know what they do? They decide to start looking at individual stocks because my mutual fund doesn't move very much. Maybe I can buy some stocks. Maybe I can find the next Tesla, the next Amazon, the next Google. You want to talk about risk? Now that, my friends, is risk. You know why it's risk? Because you could lose everything. Who would have ever thought Kodak would go out of business? Who ever thought Lucent would go out of business? Think of all the companies that no longer exist. Polaroid, out of business. I mean, you can name them on and on and on and on. Who would have ever thought General Electric, that was selling for $60 a share, would drop down to $6? Folks, those are huge risks. When you're investing in individual stocks, you are putting your family's life at risk. Now, it was interesting. As many of you know, I was speaking in India a few weeks ago. And one of my friends from India posted something on Facebook. He says to me, wait a second. Why do you continue to... We have no problem drinking soda, which is, you've seen enough of those commercials that show that's what, like 22 packets of sugar in a bottle of soda. Why do we continue to eat processed foods? Why do we continue to eat food that is not healthy for us? We don't see that as a risk, but we view putting our money into the stock market as a risk. By eating lousy food, by not taking care of ourselves, by eating the crap, there's the risk of obesity, the risk of heart disease, the risk of high cholesterol, the risk of diabetes. Yet we don't get scared over that. But instead, we get scared to dip our toe into the stock market. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I thought it was an interesting thought. All right, we got to take a quick break. But before we run, I want to remind you about our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday morning. It's called Planning Pointers. Planning Pointers comes out 10:30, lands right in your inbox. It's the newsletter that I've been writing in our office since March of 2009. Yeah, you got that right. March of 2009, just when the market hit its absolute rock bottom. Yeah, we were communicating with our clients then, not running away from them, not hiding. We started communicating even more effectively as the market dropped downward. And we're now over our 500th issue of Planning Pointers, and I can't believe that we've been doing that for so long. It's a great, great little story, and we're going to continue to provide that to you. If you'd like to get our free newsletter, visit my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website. Click on the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter, and you will get it delivered to your inbox this Friday at 10:30. I promise. You'll just get added on with the other 7,000 people that get it. If you'd also like to schedule a free initial consultation at the office, we'd love to meet with you. Give our office a call. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I look forward to meeting with you. But in the meantime, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Young Frankenstein, the classic Mel Brooks movie, is now a classic Mel Brooks musical.
That's Frankenstein.
Playing only at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater.
It's the Transylvania Mania.
From the creative team that brought you the smash hit musical The Producers, Young Frankenstein is a monstrously good time at the theater.
Throw the first switch.
Yes, monster.
Join us as the village of Transylvania Heights comes alive on stage in this frighteningly funny musical.
I'm very high-spirited, Doctor. I hope you won't hold it against me.
Oh, I'll try not to.
You can have me, don't you see? If it's just a fantasy, but please, don't touch me.
Young Frankenstein comes alive on stage at North Shore Music Theater from August 15th through August 27th only. Kids save 50% at all performances.
Have you thought of any ways you could use me?
Two, and I'm working on a third.
For tickets, log on to nsmt.org.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. In fact, 85% of our clients live within a 15-mile radius of our office. Yep, everybody's close. We do everything in person. You come to our office. We meet with you. It's a real relationship. You never feel like you're being sold anything. We talk about all that stuff, all the big picture stuff. I want to know where everything is and what everything is worth before we ever, ever offer you a recommendation. I want to do it right. We are fiduciaries. We are independent advisors. And we're also certified financial planners. Love to meet with you. If you'd like to get together with us, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Today, we're offering advice to investors because most of us now have to be investors. No longer is the guaranteed pension out there anymore. Maybe you'll get some Social Security, but you know it's on your own. You're on your own. You got to participate in your 401k plan, your 403b plan. You got to save on your own. Perhaps there's an inheritance coming your way and you got to figure out what to do with it. You got to be smart. You got to think carefully. So what I want to share with you is some of the tips for avoiding some of the common investment mistakes that people make. I've got several articles here in front of me today, but these articles are just a series of articles that you could find anywhere on Professor Google. You go there. I love the term Professor Google, by the way. People just call it the Google or Google. When I was in India, they kept on referring to him as Professor Google. And it made me think of my son, Jerry. Jerry is 17 years old. He's a junior at North Andover High School. I remember a couple of years ago, Jerry says to me, Dad, he says, what do we need school for? I said, what do you mean, what do we need school for? He says, Dad, if I want to get an answer to anything I need to know, I just go to Google. He says, why don't they just be a Google school? Let's learn how to use Google better. And then what do we need teachers for? What do we need to go to school for? I mean, it was an interesting perspective. I think we all know and can argue both sides of that, of course. But when I was in India, they referred to Google as Professor Google. So I thought that was interesting. It tied into what my son was talking about. But, you know, you go to Google and you type in investment mistakes and you'll get a million different responses back. So here are a few that I want to share with you during this segment. Number one is expecting too much by using someone else's expectations. And I talked about that in the first segment. You hear about people who have had some good performance with their investments and you say, oh, I want to jump on that. And so you have the expectation that you're going to get the same kind of performance that that person got. And in reality, that'll never happen. Imagine this. Let's say a friend of yours invested $1,000 in an investment and it grew from $1,000 to $1,500. You might think, wow, he just got a 50% return on his investment. Maybe I should get in now at the new price, but you'd be buying in basically at that $1,500 level. Now, what do you think the likelihood of the stock going up another 50% is? If it's already gone up 50%, is it more likely that it will go down and adjust itself back to something a little bit more normalized or grow at another rate of 50%? I think we all know the answer to that. But so often we get so caught up in these great ideas and the great thinking and, oh, we got to jump on this bandwagon and continue to do it. Well, I don't know why it is that people end up continuing to buy into Apple. Why would you buy Apple? What, do you think you're going to get the same kind of returns that the secretaries who worked at Apple got when they first started working for the company? You know, the secretaries that were making $35,000 a year now have Apple portfolios worth $2 million. What, do you think you're going to get the same kind of return? No, of course you're not. Of course you're not. But I will tell you this. I wouldn't know whether now's the right time to buy Apple or not. I don't know whether it's the right time to buy Tesla or Yahoo or anything or Starbucks. I don't know. But you know who does, who I trust a lot more in? I would trust a ton more in a portfolio manager who manages $1 billion of money rather than me who might want to buy 100 shares of Starbucks or Apple. These guys that are managing $1 billion in one particular portfolio, they might be buying 1 million shares of Starbucks or 1 million shares of, Buffalo Wild Wings. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. Folks, no business buying stocks. No business buying individual securities based upon the success of a friend of yours. Here's another one. Oftentimes people don't diversify enough. A couple weeks ago, I had Bert White, Chief Investment Officer at LPL Financial, on the radio with me. And we were talking about this term called diversification. Not diversification, diversification. Many people believe that if they own Apple and Yahoo and Amazon and Target and Starbucks and Bank of America and all of those different types of stocks, or they own the Fidelity Contrarian Fund, the Fidelity Contra Fund, the Dodge and Cox Stock Fund, the Putnam Growth and Income Fund, or a whole bunch of these different types of funds, they say, I've got diversification. But if you dig down a little deeper, if you go to Morningstar and you start to do this analysis, what you're going to find is they're all investing the same way. You might think you have different names of funds, but if you look at the positions within the portfolio, they're all the same. They're all the same. What would you do if the stock market dropped and you owned all of those funds? You know what? They'd all do poorly. If the stock market does really well, you do really well. Wouldn't it make more sense to have a little bit of your money in large investments, in value investments, in growth investments, in small investments, in international investments, some in bonds? Maybe some takes a dividend approach. Other people take a different approach. Whatever it might be, we make the mistake of running our money towards the stuff that is done well. And generally when you do that, if you even look on your 401k, you're going to get your 401k statements probably in the next week or two because we're approaching the end of the month. You're going to see how your account did, and then they'll send you the booklet that has a list of all the other funds that are available in your 401k plan. And you look and you see what the performance is and you go, wow, my funds didn't do so well, but look at these other funds that did really well. Maybe I'll move, because all it takes is a click and a button to move money from one place to another. It's easy. It's fun. It's something to do. It's making a change, and change feels good sometimes because we think we're staying on top of what's going on in the world. But folks, trying to chase returns is the worst decision you could ever make. I often find it funny that people use as their investing decisions when they say, all right, I'm going to get serious about this. I'm going to really build an investment portfolio. And they take time studying Morningstar. They take time going on all of these stock screening reports, mutual fund screeners, all these different things to try to build their portfolio. And the number one thing they look at is, hey, yeah, we got to look at fees. Got to look at fees. It's got to be low. Want to look at the manager. Has the manager been there for a while? And number three, the most important one, though, is what's their track record been? 3 year, 5 year, 15 year. How have they done in all of those years? And you end up making a decision based upon their 15-year track record, their 10-year track record. And then you buy your investment. And a year goes by. And the market doesn't do so well. And you realize that this fund is underperforming what some of the better funds are doing. You go, wait a second, did I buy a lousy fund? No, you did not necessarily buy a lousy fund. You were making a decision based upon that manager or the fund company's ability to perform a 15-year average rate of return. I want you to think back 15 years from today. Has the market gone down in those 15 years? Yes, it has. Has it been amongst the scariest times over these 15 years? Yeah, from 2008 to 2009, dropping 45% in the stock market? That's pretty scary. But you know what? The guy that had the really good 15-year rate of return on their investments, that portfolio manager, that mutual fund company that is showing that 15-year average rate of return, lived through the down parts too. Now, are you going to try to second guess what that manager did who lived through both ups and significant downs? You're going to get out of his fund and try to buy something else? That is nuts. It's absolutely insane. In fact, if that fund is doing poorly during bad times, maybe you should add more money to it. Did I just suggest adding more money to it? Where would you take it from? Oh, you take it from the stuff that's doing really well. What? What? It doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't make intuitive sense as you really look at it. But we're getting all emotional over this. Let's stay rational. Remember that term, buy low, sell high. Buy low, sell high. Right now, the market is sitting at an all-time high. Many people are thinking, maybe I should buy more. Maybe I should add. All of a sudden, people are seeing performance numbers. They're going, geez, my account did 18% last year. It's doing 18% last year. Maybe if I just do half of that, 9, that'll be really good. So I'm going to take all my money out of cash. I'm going to move my money out of bonds because I heard bonds are bad. I did not say bonds are bad. I'm just saying people have said bonds are bad. I'm not saying that at all. But they move that stuff out because bonds haven't been performing as well as the stocks have. Let's just move it all into stocks. That is called buying high and selling low, because when the stock market performs poorly, you're going to get out and say, oh, well, now it's time to get into bonds. No, you need to diversify and you need to allocate your assets, because if you don't, you are performing an act that is called diversification of your portfolio. I do not want to see you do that. Another mistake investors make, they focus too much on taxes. Yeah, taxes are important. But no one, well, most people that I talk to, they say, well, Mark, I'm in the 28% tax bracket. I'm in the 33% tax bracket. Most people that I run into actually pay taxes at a rate somewhere between 13 and 17%. Remember, taxes are on a marginal scale. Maybe the last dollar that you made, maybe you had to pay 28% on it or 33%, but the dollars before, not at all. Look, let me give you parameters of who our clients are so you know what I'm talking about here. The vast majority of our clients are over the age of 55. They're married and they've lived in their home for 20 years or more. They got decent relationships with their kids. During their working years, they made somewhere between $150,000 and $300,000 as a household. In retirement, they want to spend somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. They have collective investment assets between $500,000 and $1.5 million. You add in the house and other real estate, maybe it goes up to $2-2.5 million. That's who it is. So the advice that I'm giving to you is advice that is going out to a lot of people who can relate to these ideas, but sometimes you're very misled about what the tax liability is. In fact, I had a guy come in last week. Got his first pension check, and he'd all figured it out. This is what my pension check's going to be. He was working for one of the hospitals. So he was supposed to get a check for $4,000 a month. That was going to be his pension. $4,000 a month, and he figured, well, if I take out the taxes, I take out everything, I should get a check for around $2,800. And he gets his first check last month, and it's $3,300. And he goes, what happened? Why do I have so much more money? And I explained to him, well, they're not taking Social Security out anymore. They're not? No, once you start collecting a pension or collecting Social Security from Social Security, they're not withholding Social Security tax anymore. You don't have to pay FICA anymore. Your federal tax liability is a lot less because you're making less money. He couldn't believe it. He thought the system was broke. He thought, you know, he wasn't going to tell anybody. He was worried that somebody was going to come back and ask him for the money. That wasn't the case. Folks, when it comes to taxes, when it comes to investing, you need to understand that taxes are an important part, but they're not the end all. Let's talk about that a little bit more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.1.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to the last and final segment of the day of Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I promise you, no, this is not the last and final. This is just the last segment of the day. What we're doing here is trying to help you put all of those pieces together of your financial life so that you're building the right team to get your retirement in the order it needs to be in. And if you need a coach, if you need a quarterback to help you along the way, give our office a call. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We're located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We provide financial advice in a language you can understand, and we've been doing it for almost 50 years. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation in our office, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us on my website. Go to friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You click on the bottom button down there. It says you could sign up for a free newsletter. You can do that if you want. If you want to drop me a quick email, you can do that as well. So use the website as a tool to connect with us. I love meeting the listeners. We probably get two or three calls a week from listeners of this show. And oftentimes it's just a conversation that you want to have over the phone because you're not even sure whether coming in would make sense. I don't care. Call us. It's okay. It's okay. We're not going anywhere. We've been doing this 50 years. So, you know, this is not one of these businesses where, you know, I need a new client to put food on the table at my house. We have built a mature practice, and I want to try to help out any individual here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, however I can, whether it's in person, over the phone, whatever it is. So please give our office a call. When we last left, we were talking about investment mistakes that the typical investor makes all the time. And where we're sitting here with the market sitting at its all-time high, wondering, well, when's this thing going to correct? Or could it go up another 3,000 points in the months that follow? I will tell you that I don't know the answer to that question, and anybody that suggests that they do is lying to you. Also know this, you could turn into CNBC, Bloomberg Radio, CNN, MSNBC, wherever you choose to get your news from. They will always bring on hosts, always bring on economists who have a perspective on what's going to happen next. You can pick up Money Magazine, Kiplinger's, Wall Street Journal, Barron's, doesn't matter. Everybody has a perspective. You want to know the most fascinating thing is most people take that advice as like, this is what I got to do because this person said this is what I need to do. Did you know that the very best of the best economists out there are right 40% of the time? So if you knew that, despite the fact that these speakers and presenters are convincing, how would you feel if only 40% of the time they're right? That means that less than half the time, they're right. It's like playing at the casino. You know the edge always goes to the house, right? You know who the house is in this case? All of the financial services firms that are out there. They make money when you make money and when you lose money. They're the house. So you want to be very careful when you see the CEO or the chief economic advisor or investment officer from, say, Merrill Lynch gets up. You don't think the stuff they're talking about has somewhat of a bias towards their ability to potentially move inventory, move stocks that they're trying to get rid of, trying to pump up the price of some other type of security? They'll say that it's not, but they're in a business. They're about making money. Understand, businesses, I don't care whether you're in the pizza business, in the furniture business, if you're a publicly traded company, your number one responsibility is to your shareholders. And remember, if you're investing in the stock market, you are a shareholder. And all you care about is the fact that your shares go up. You want your company to do it in the most ethical, the most honest, and the most appropriate manner. But if it means picking and choosing what messages you want to spend more time on than others, and it means an increase to your share price, are you going to do it? Think about that. You know, we listened to Elizabeth Warren talk about the people who are millionaires and billionaires. We've heard that a number of times already. But the people that are millionaires and billionaires are working hard for their shareholders. They're working for shareholders who want the value of their companies to go up. Doesn't matter about what the salary is that these executives make. If the share price goes up and you're making money and they're making money, everybody's happy. And so if we don't like the whole millionaires and billionaires statement that comes from Elizabeth Warren, then why are you investing in stock investments in your 401k plan? Think about that. Because by investing in the 401k plan, you're basically saying, I endorse the millionaires and billionaires because they're going to make money. Well, damn it, I should make money too. Think about that. If you're a participant in the stock market, you can't be sitting there complaining about how much money the CEO makes. You know why you can't complain? Because you can sell your investment and move it somewhere else. If you choose not to, you're basically saying it's okay. Think about that. before you start drilling it at somebody else and blaming somebody else on things you cannot control. You can't control the salary of the CEO of X, Y, or Z company. You know what you can control? Whether you choose to invest in the company, whether you choose to buy their products. You can do that. That's your control. So be careful before you start spewing your mouth about stuff that you can't control. We got to be realistic. We're all a bunch of hypocrites in many cases. We all are. We all do something that's hypocritical. But when it comes to managing your personal financial life, getting it ready for your retirement, you got to take care of yourself first. You got to get your house in order. Understand where everything is. Make sure that you're making the smartest, most important decisions of your life. Because remember, when you're retired, the paycheck isn't coming in anymore. No one's withholding federal tax for you on that paycheck. No one's paying into FICA. You got to figure out another way that you can draw income to go along with your Social Security check or your pension check, and then manage all of the other assets that you own. Should you take money from your annuity, from your IRA, from your investment account, from the bank account? How much can you afford to give to the kids to help them out? What kind of care do you need to offer to mom and dad? Are inheritances that you might be entitled to? Do you own a business? You know, one of the things about business owners is business owners say, you know, hey, I'd like to retire. But they realize that most of the biggest benefits that they had as a business owner was that they wrote off expenses through their business. And now when they say, well, I just need, you know, $5,000 to support my life in retirement. Well, that might be nice, but you neglect to recognize the amount of expenses and benefits that you took from running the business. Like perhaps the business paid for your car, business paid for entertainment, business paid for meals, business paid for insurance. All of a sudden, that's on your plate. You got to consider all of those elements. A certified financial planner looks at all that stuff first, because I know that the investment you choose is secondary to making your financial and retirement plan appropriate. You got to put all your pieces together first. You got to know where everything is, what everything is worth. Know how you own it. What's the implication if one of you get ill, get sick, die, need to help out the kids, need to make a major purchase? That's what a certified financial planner is going to help you with, both the financial planning and the investment management side. If you'd like us to do it for you, I'd be happy to talk to you. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. 8108, or visit us, of course, on the web. You can get our free newsletter there if you'd like. We've got a bunch of videos to watch. You can connect into some of the other blogs we've written. The website is FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. All right, let's find another common investment mistake that people make year after year after year. Here's one. They let their emotions get in the way. I do this all the time, right? I can't tell you how many people I've run into that work for a publicly traded company, and they own maybe 30 or 40% of their 401k in their company's stock, or they participate in the stock purchase program at their company, and they realize that that stock now represents 15, 20% of their portfolio. And they'll come in and meet with me. We'll look at their whole situation, look at everything, where everything is allocated. And I say, you know, your greatest risk is in your stock portfolio. And they'll say, I know it's my greatest risk. I said, so why don't you reduce it? Well, if I did that, I might not get a promotion. If I did that, my boss might get mad at me. They're watching to see who's buying stocks, buying shares. The people that have the greatest embedded interest, there's the ones they're going to promote. Those are the ones that they're going to treat better. That is an absolute lie. Absolute lie. But it has become a common belief that that's what happens. Your employer, you know what your employer wants? Your employer wants you to be successful. Your employer wants you to be prudent. Your employer wants to make smart decisions that are appropriate for your family, not for what you think is for the good of the company. That's what the executives do. And did you know, pick any company you want. Go to any publicly traded company. Go to Morningstar.com. Grab Pepsi. Grab Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't care what you grab. And click on the tab that says Insider Trading. Insider Trading lists the major executives in the company who own substantial stakes of stock in the firm. And it will show you any of the buys or sells that they have made within the stock in the company year after year. And you know what you'll find? Your executives sell stock on a regular basis. Now, they might sell it to pay taxes. They might sell it because they're overexposed or their financial advisor told them they need to minimize their position. Folks, the total amount of stocks, shares that you hold at your company is insignificant to the whole pie of shares that are outstanding. You cannot let your emotions get in the way. Do what is best for you. I can't tell you enough times. Do what you can control. You can't control what the executives at your company are going to say is going to happen to the company. But what you can control is how many shares you own. You can also control what type of an allocation you want to have in your portfolio. What you can't control are the stocks that are purchased within the mutual fund or their exchange-traded fund in the portfolio. You want to do your research. Make sure that the manager's philosophy matches yours. That's something you can control. You can control how often you take money from your account. You can control how you choose to spend your money. You can control how much money you choose to give to your children. You can control whether to say yes or no to the kids. I know it's tough. It's emotional. But folks, there are times when you have to say, you know what? We did our very best to bring up our kids. We, in fact, sacrificed much of our own personal wealth so that our kids could succeed. But now it's time to put ourselves first. It's a hard thing to do sometimes. But what I see even happening even more is that many children can actually support themselves. Yet you still feel this obligation to continue to contribute to their well-being when you need the money more than they do. Folks, that's a mistake. And you know what? Your kids will respect that. They're not 15 or 16 years old anymore, where they think you're the most rotten person in the world and you're stupid and you don't know what's going on. I mean, look, I got kids that have done the same thing. But they appreciate what you've done. And in fact, they'd be appreciative to help you. So leave that as our final thought today. To consider what you can control and what you can't control when it comes to your investments, when it comes to your personal financial life, and when it comes to helping you achieve the retirement that you want. Seriously, think about this. What can you control? And let's focus on those things. We'll be back next Sunday. Provide you more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.